talking to Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper, and it's fair to say you weren't the most enthusiastic voice in relation to the budget debate. You reckoned that the budget was unaffordable, and yet, as health minister, you presided over at least part of the 43% increase, huge increase, in health spending. Isn't this a bit like the pot calling the kettle black?
If you look back at the budget years where that happened, you can actually see that the growth in deficit spending was negligible by comparison to what we're talking about here. And like I said in my remarks, this budget doubles your deficit overnight. We never did that when I was in health. That's just unsustainable. And when we were proposing increases in funding for services, I have always stood by the fact that you need to pay for it somehow, which is why the income tax levels went up. This isn't rocket science, right? If you're going to promise people you're going to spend money on things, you have to find the money from somewhere, and you can't just empty the piggy bank to do so. Mr. Mercer was spot on. He said we've had a number of black swan events. You've had COVID, you've had Ukraine, you've had Brexit. And actually, when these things happen, you need some money in the reserves to cushion some of the impacts. Imagine what it would be like if we didn't have those reserves and COVID hits or Brexit hits or whatever it may be, because that's where this budget takes us, to a place where the only money we have left in the reserves is the money we've borrowed. Now, that is a fundamental shift for the island. The island has always prided itself on running a balanced budget. But this budget, probably for the first time, actually says, no, we're now going to be starting to rely on borrowed money to pay the bills. That is how the UK operates, how every other jurisdiction operates, and they're all in a mess because of it. We cannot allow ourselves to get in that position. We heard it from the Treasury today. We've moved away from the idea that we're an island without debt, and the argument the Treasury are now using is we have a good debt to GDP ratio. They're already shifting their approach, and that is really worrying and should be really worrying for anybody out there about worrying about the way we're going to pay for things next week and next year and the year after. It looks like we're entering into a new world of borrowing.
Hang on, though. Reserves are running at, is it 1.9 million, something in that region? And in terms of those reserves, we only borrowed 400 million.
No, so the reserves, the National Insurance Fund, which is ring-fenced for very good reason, runs at about 1.6, 1.7 billion. The rest of the reserve, what's called the General Reserve, has about 500 million in it. 400 million of that is what we borrowed. That's the reality here. And this is what the government isn't going to be honest with people about and say, yes, we've moved into the phase now where we are spending borrowed money. We're not spending money that we've saved up over the years. We've spent that. All the money we've saved up, that's gone. Now we are spending the money we've borrowed, and they will fall back on. But the total reserves are really healthy because they want to confuse people and pretend that the National Insurance Fund is there to fund day-to-day budgets and day-to-day spending when we all know it isn't. And the risk that I think we run is if they convince people that it is, that they're allowed to dip into that, the next step is to start taking money from the National Insurance pot to pay for things. And it's the slippery slope, and this is where they're starting. This budget is the one that says, no, we're going over the precipice and we're taking the rest of you with us.
The economy for the past 4 years or so has been sluggish, it's fair to say. What the Treasury Minister has said, and I think the Chief Minister was keen to echo this, is that this tax cut is going to result in a boost to the economy.
So there's never been any evidence that that works, especially when you're talking about blanket tax cuts. Doesn't happen. Targeted incentives can produce good outcomes, but the idea of giving a blanket tax break to people, I mean, take someone who's earning £100,000 a year. They've now got more money in their pocket as a result of this tax break. Is that going to change the amount of money they spend on the island? Probably not. Somebody earning £15,000 a year is going to have zero extra pounds in their pocket as a result of this tax break. And those are the kind of people that actually would be spending money, because when you only have 15 grand a year, you spend it on rent, on your electricity, on your food, things you have to spend it on. But people at the bottom end are not helped at all by this budget. And that's the reality. And this is the thing the Treasury won't accept and won't acknowledge publicly, is that anybody who's on a low wage is actually losing out as a result. They are worse off as a result of this budget compared to what Tim Wood had originally proposed back in January. This is bad for low earners. It's not good. And that's the reality of the situation. So if you're out there and you're earning £120,000 a year, you are quids in, and you'll be better off as a result of this budget. If you're out there scraping to get by, this Treasury has basically said, we don't care.
3,600 people taken out of paying any tax?
Yeah, so if I'm earning £14,751, I'm £1 over the threshold. Now I won't pay any. Now I'm out of the tax threshold completely. Great. How much am I better off? 50p? 20p? That statistic is meaningless. It is totally and utterly meaningless. It's the kind of thing that government throws around when they don't want to tackle the real problems. The real issue is there are probably 4,000 people out there on the island who are not going to see any benefit at all from this budget, and there are thousands more who will be worse off because the government decided to do a massive U-turn on the way the minimum wage was being dealt with. This tax break is not a tax break for working people on low incomes. It is a tax break for higher earners, and that's the reality of it.
A previous approach that was being taken, though, in relation to getting the minimum wage increased by, the proposal was, I think it was 9%, that was causing huge consternation, particularly in the local economy. Surely to goodness you must recognise that something had to be done about that.
Absolutely, and like I've been arguing from the start, you can't push people up to a living wage without providing support for those businesses that are going to struggle. The way you do that is through your national insurance system. Businesses don't pay personal income tax. You do as an employee. It doesn't really help a business one way or the other. If you've got more money in your pocket, they're still paying you the same amount of money. Their bill is still the same. The way you help businesses is you say, well, let's reduce the national insurance rates or thresholds, because that way the employee keeps money, because employees pay national insurance. Self-employed people pay national insurance. They would keep a bit more money. And of course, employers paying the employer rate would keep more money. That's the solution to the problem. And as the budget documents show very clearly, the National Insurance Fund can cope with this and can accept changes to NI rates and NI thresholds. If you look at comparing us to the UK, NI is what kills us over here, because our NI thresholds are worse than the UK's. That's the problem. And it's a problem that the Treasury, I think, acknowledge, but seem completely unwilling to do anything about.
The other thing that you were particularly down on in relation to the budget was the way in which capital is now spent. The general view is, or the government view at least, is that by doing quarterly assessments, you are more likely to have a price, a better price, than if you wait 12 months, and by the time you've waited to get the budgetary approval, the chances are the cost of producing the project has gone up.
That's the theory. In practice, though, what we've actually seen is everything taken out of the budget. So the budget no longer has funding for Castle Russian High School or whatever in it. Instead, it's, well, no, this will come forward as part of a quarterly programme. How many quarterly votes have come to Tim Walz dealing with capital projects over the last 5 years? I think it's two. And they were both for projects that were already in the budget that were just shifted. They weren't new things. The reality is this quarterly programme the government set in place just hasn't worked. It's not delivered at anything at all. And to have a member in Treasury stand up and telling everyone how great everything is and how much he's done a great job, where's Commonmoor? Where's Castle Russian? Where's Rayton Bay? Where's the housing developments in the south? Where are these proposals? Where's Tramway Terrace? Where are the capital schemes coming forward that I know for a fact have been sat on desks in Treasury or in departments for years? Where are they? And the answer is nowhere, because the Treasury capital process has completely and utterly failed to deliver.
It's a relatively new process, though. I mean, it was only introduced, this quarterly assessment, reasonably recently, surely.
Near the start of the administration, I think, they started it. And again, in principle, it's a great idea, because it means you've got four opportunities to come forward to Tim Walz with some funding. In principle, it's excellent. In practice, it hasn't worked. And that's the issue here. You can stand up and extol the theory as much as you like. And this is what government does all the time. They say, well, this is going to work like this. Look, we've got a great scheme, a great strategy, a great plan. And you say, okay, how's that working on the ground for you? And the answer is, it's not. We've seen this time and time again, childcare strategies, autism strategies, whatever it may be, they look great on paper, but unless government actually follows through and delivers on them, they make no difference at all to people on the ground in real life. And that's what I'm worried about here, is how are people in real life being impacted by these decisions? Government seems completely oblivious.
You've been saying similar sorts of things now for, well, ever since you left the Department of Health and Social Care. Are people not listening to you? Are you just not effective in getting your message over?
I think it's that the message is unpalatable. And I think you saw that with the Chief Minister replacing Alex as Treasury Minister just before January Timbald. He doesn't like being told what's really going on. He would prefer to have people that tell him what he wants to hear. And I think that's where we're at, is you've got a Treasury Minister now who's quite happy to toe the line and announce everything is well. But unfortunately, the Emperor is wearing new clothes, and we all know where that ended up.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.